Hello, everybody. This is Marcy Heim, the Artful Asker. Welcome to our July Artful Asking Success Club calls. This one is part of my Dial Down the Drama series that we're doing all of 2017. I'd like to welcome new members. I see some of you on today. Thanks so much for, in this crazy summertime, making a commitment to be on the call today. If you invest in a 12-pack of programs, all the past recordings from the Artful Asking Success Club and way back to when I called it the Major Gift Success Club are available to you. It's an inexpensive and really an easy way to get some recordings that you can listen to as you walk or do other things. Walking is important. We'll talk about it today. If you're already a Success Club member, thank you. Thanks so much for honoring me with your membership, but also for respecting yourself and investing in your own personal growth and development. That's really critical. If you're not growing, you're going down. There's really not a halfway point. We're either moving forward and constantly learning, or we've kind of said, and we're coasting. And there's really not coasting. Coasting is a downhill trajectory. So if you're a guest, please consider joining. And if any of you ever have any troubles, just send a note to info@marcyheim.com. And I suspect that one of my team members, but probably Kathy, will be there to help you out. Again, welcome to all the folks that are continuing to jump on. We're just getting going. I have a couple of announcements as we begin today. My More Major Gifts workshop is coming up again in Chicago, September 14th and 15th. This is 2 solid days with me and a small group, anywhere from 6 to 15. Come to that workshop, and it's a great way. A couple of you are on the call with me this morning. It's a great way to really have an opportunity to focus on what you are doing in your program, and I think you also benefit from being with other folks who have shops of different sizes and different situations. And a lot of times, another benefit that comes from something like this workshop is a reaffirmation of what you're doing right, and that's just as important as all the new things that you learn. I also am running a special right now, special, and that is on my board training. I love to do board training. I just got back from a time in Texas last week where I had a chance to be with the YMCA board in Central Texas, and it was an amazing experience, and I love doing these. So I'm running a special between now and the end of August that if you book a board training for any time, and you know what, I'm also not going to use the word training. A board member said you train a dog, so I guess I don't do trainings. A board experience. There we go. If you book it for any time in 2018 now, I'll give everybody on your board a complimentary copy of my book. That's my special right now. Our next call is August 15th, and we're going to talk about unplugging. That'll be fun. And I also have something really unique going on right now. I have a shift in my VIP coaching clients, and I only take 4 or 5 of these. And at the end of the summer, I will be closing up my work with a longtime client of 6 years, and I'll have a spot open. So if you're interested in hearing more about VIP coaching, which is a very high-level relationship I have with your entire organization, set up some time is probably best on www.schedulealcallwithmarcy.com. And that gives you access to my calendar, which is crazy busy right now, but there are some open spots, and jump in and set up a call. And just to say to any of you, if there's a burning issue or something that you want to talk to me about, use that www, schedule a call with Marcy, and jump in for a 15-minute session and talk to me. Talk to me about what's going on. Okay, perfect. Now for the next 55 minutes or so, stop, breathe, slow down, and just do this call. Phones down, emails off. Please try to just be with me. You deserve this break. This program is part of a year-long special program. I call it Dial Down the Drama. Oh, my God. Dial Up Your Success in raising money, but, my friends, also in your life, because they are one in the same. Your work is part of your life. It's part of this crazy thing that we're living. So drama down, yep, I promise you dollars go up. Drama down, yep, I promise you joy goes up. We spend precious time and energy engaged in emotions that don't serve us. In fact, they drain us. How many times have you wasted precious moments lamenting about what might happen if? What if my kids get in drugs? What if that major gift doesn't come in? What if I lose my job? What if they reorganize here? What if the CAO leaves? What if we have a changeover on the board chair and the next one's a jerk? How many times did you put off dealing with something? And, I mean, this is stomach in knots, not sleeping at night. Oh, my gosh, how are we going to deal with this? And finally you took care of it. Finally you dealt with it. And then you have this moment where you say, oh, my goodness, that wasn't such a big deal. Why did I make such a big deal out of it? Why did I wait so long to deal with it? Did you ever look back on a day when you were in kind of a crummy mood for whatever reason? But look back and say, why did I give this whole day up to this mood? Why did I let it take over my day? So I want you to picture something in your mind, anything that's got a number scale on it, 1 to 10, 1 to 5. It's hard to find dials these days. Everything's electronic. But I found one on my crock pot, and I have a low, medium, or high. And picture yourself, because this is an anchor, and an anchor is important, a physical anchor. Picture your hand on that dial, and you control the dial. Are you on 0? Are you on 10? Are you somewhere in between? Are you on low, medium, or high? And remember, your hand is on the dial. My friends, you control that dial. Now, I get it. Other people push your buttons. You bet. Same thing happens to me. I get that email that says, where is this? Or what about that? Or did we tell you this? Or And I can feel it. I can feel it happening. And I see myself reaching out to that dial and cranking it down. Cranking it down. So I'm not seeing this move here. I want to be sure you're all still on. Cranking it down. Why is this not giving me a current volume? I'm going to assume we're still, there we go. There it's back. All right, must have just been a little hiccup there. Cranking it down, cranking down that volume. You control it. So I created this whole program so that I don't understand why this is not continuing to do this here. I'm going to just check in with you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Somebody please. Okay. Yes. Have there been little hiccups in the volume?
No.
Okay,
no,
then it's just okay, then it's just what my screen is showing. All right. All right, here we go back again. Thanks for that. So I created this program so that you become crystal clear about what triggers you and gives you that opportunity to always say, okay, I'm being triggered. I'm going to crank it up. I'm going to crank it down. Now, I can't see when we'd ever crank it up, but I'm going to crank down that volume. You choose your drama level. Our success and our joy is dependent on Sure, the stuff we do, but all of that comes from our inner world, our mindset, and our methods. Mostly our success is dependent on that inner world. So the purpose of this whole series is for you to be more aware about what you are thinking, what's going on in your heads, because that thought process leads to how you feel about something. Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it fair? Is it not fair? Oh, it's not fair that Sophie get measured on these same metrics because she's got donors that can give more, so she's going to raise money more quickly. Dear Lord, do I hear all about this stuff. We don't have the same chance. We don't, whatever is going on in your head, I want you to understand that these feelings lead to how you believe something. How you believe something is possible or not, what we believe to be true. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, doesn't matter. Because how we believe leads to the actions we take or the actions we back away from taking. I'll call those donors tomorrow. I'm not going to call them today because, well, it's Wednesday and, you know, people don't like phone calls on Wednesday. That's a belief. That's something that's coming out of that drama. And those actions we take lead to what we achieve, our results, and that's what it is. Remember, you create your life. Let me hear you. I create my life. Every day we put those feet on the floor, I create my life. And your thoughts create your actions. So today, I am going to talk to you about bringing your body into it. How do you value your health as a development professional? I can tell you this. You won't feel good forever if you don't start taking care of yourself now, today, right now. And this is not really an age thing. Young people are sometimes the worst, and I was one of them. I can get by on 2 or 3 hours of sleep. I used to sing in my band all night, get up and go to raise money all day, sing all night, raise money all day, sing all night, raise money all day. At some point during the week, I'd sleep. But I kept this up for the better part of, 4 or 5 years. We need to use some wisdom because the day will come when you'll be your oldest donor. Think about who your oldest donor is right now. Are they 90? I have one that's 92. Perhaps you know an older donor who is vibrant, and I do as well, fabulous people. And you're amazed when you learn how old they really are. Listen now. Will you be that person when you arrive at their age? Will you be that person? It's not about luck. I don't think it's about genes. I think genes might give you a little bit of help, but it's not even really about having the money to buy organic this or have a personal trainer or all that stuff. I think you just have to take care of yourself. But, you know, that's one of those things that we say and we go, oh, sure, that's easy, right? And it's not. So, like so much of it, that's where it gets tricky. Like so much of our behavior, our first thought is to jump in and say, oh, poor me. I don't have access to this or that. My company doesn't have a wellness program. I don't have the time. I don't have the money to belong to a gym. I don't have the time to cook, or whatever it is. But we jump right into victim, 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 poor me mode. So today, we'll explore, why don't we take care of ourselves? Because I think there's some special things that happen for us as advancement professionals. In other words, what thinking is driving how we look at our personal health right now? And number two, this leads into, it's kind of part of the same, what past attempts have we tried and haven't really worked? And three, I've got a few simple tools. Not a recommended program of this or that, no, but a simple tool for changing, tools for changing how we think about our personal health goals that I hope will be helpful for you. And finally, I'll give you just a few simple takeaways that might help you rethink this whole thing we call our personal health. It's a big deal. I want to be clear, this is not going to be about what you eat or your exercise programs. I'm not promoting anything. You see, I was driven to include this in my series because part of what I do in the course of my speaking and coaching is I meet lots of people. I talk to lots of people. And it's one of my greatest joys in being the Artful Asker is all of the folks I get to meet and interact with. But sadly, I see way too many people who are not taking care of themselves. And especially when I'm wearing my life coaching hat, I hear stories of stress over meeting metrics, over crummy bosses, over travel weariness, over the time changes we get when we travel with our work, over juggling family and our round-the-clock, I mean, what seems like round-the-clock relationship-building work, this constant connectivity we have with our phones and our this's and our that's. Many of the folks I meet, honestly, sometimes I'm one of them, clearly feel terrible. They feel terrible. You see, this, and you see this in the way that they look and in the way they carry themselves. I see people who simply look exhausted. You can't look great if you don't feel great. How you feel will show up somewhere. It shows up in your body language. It shows up in how you kind of look at people. Sometimes I wonder, are people distracted? What's going on with them? And I realize they're just that tired. I've been asked to do a keynote at a big conference this December, and I'm going to be the closing keynote. And one of the things I've been asked to talk about is how do we maximize a conference experience? So I've already started researching this. And one of the things I see is, how do we maximize a conference experience? They say, oh, before you go to the conference, get plenty of rest so you come to the conference well-rested. I laughed out loud. Let's get real, folks. For most of us to go to a conference, it means that we're pulling some pretty late nights the 3 days before a conference so we can get everything together to get to the darn thing. And it also means we're probably pulling some late nights when we get back to catch up. I mean, that's kind of the reality. There's this kind of dull look in our eyes sometimes because we're just juggling a lot. Or perhaps we confuse details because we've got so much going on in our minds. Or we have trouble listening because we're tired or something is aching. Some of you know I'm dealing with this plantar fasciitis stuff, so you've got this foot that just hurts all the time. It impacts us. Okay, so where does this all begin? Of course, with our thinking. How do we set our mind to this? How do we set our mind to have better personal health? That's our mindset. I'm going to set my mind to it. Well, it all begins with, why don't we take care of ourselves? I thought about this and I came up with these reasons. Number one, we don't have clarity for how to feed our physical bodies. Now, you might say, what? Marcy, there are more diet options than you can even begin to take in. How can we not know what we're supposed to eat? Well, you might remember last month I said that we're actually drowning in options. We're drowning in options. We have had decades of bad diets. The banana diet, the green tea diet, the 500-calorie diet. I mean, just to name a few amidst all of Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Paleo, on and on and on and on and on and on it goes. Magic pills, health schemes, misinformation, and frankly, easy access to fast food and prepackaged stuff that we oftentimes reach for in all this chaos. We truly are amazingly confused about what we should eat, and much less, how do we take all this information and still find some joy in eating? Recently, I was at a post-conference cocktail reception where I had just spoken, and I was chewing away on something. I forget what I was even eating. And someone came up to me and said, couldn't make this up, Marcy, do you have any idea how many toxins are in that and what they will do to your body? I said, yeah, and thanks for sharing. Now, those of you who know me know I was gathering up that little thought, flinging it off and say, thank you for sharing, and just letting it go. There's this plethora of information. Recent research from Mintel shows these reasons, remember results, not reasons, so these are excuses, for not eating healthy. And they won't surprise you. Availability of good choices, cost, confusion, time constraints, and taste concerns. Great. So in a word, we don't have clarity on how to feed ourselves. We aren't clear on what healthy eating looks like for us. And it's a boatload of work to try to sort it all out. Now, you know I say a confused donor doesn't give. A confused development officer doesn't ask. A confused board member doesn't help. Well, a confused eater doesn't eat healthy or well. So one of the things that we do that leads us into this spot is we think that it's just all too big to figure out for us. Number two, we have a skewed body image planted in our mind. On the one side, we're inundated with these perfectly beautiful people whose, you know, hair shines and teeth are white and they're thin and they look a certain way or they're a certain size. And they're out there in all the media things. Goodness, I don't watch much TV. But when I do, it's generally sports, and the ads just crack me up when they're promoting a drug. I'm sure some of you have seen these, where the drug can practically kill you. So they're saying, taking this drug will cause you to fall down or perhaps get you dizzy or perhaps kill you, right? And they're saying all these, but they're these beautiful people who are thin, and they're floating across a field of flowers, smiling and laughing. So we get these images about what a perfect body looks like or a body should look like. Yet on the other hand, in my travels, obesity, fat people, you know, not a little plump, not excuse me, not could take off a few pounds. I mean, fat people, they're everywhere. As I walk through the airports, I'm really amazed. I found myself kind of keeping score, normal and fat, and the fat people win. There are more of us than are overweight than are normal weight. And you know how when you buy a new car and then you see that car everywhere? Well, right now, one of the things I personally want to do is drop about 50 pounds. So I see heavy people everywhere, and I'm starting to keep track of this. There are more heavy people than not, and that's a problem. Why? Because, again, going back to Earl Nightingale's talk in 1957, we become what we think about. He talks about the fact that we conform. Instead of striking out, we conform. And the problem is we're conforming to the wrong group, the group that's fat, the group that's overweight. We're acting like the wrong percentage. We need to reset our internal picture of what a healthy person looks like, and especially, what does a healthy us look like? What does a healthy us look like? Number three, we have totally lost touch with exercise. For virtually all of our human existence, cavemen on, exercise was part of our days. It was part of our days. When we farmed, it was part of getting out, milking the cows, planting the crops, bringing in the crops. We moved as part of our everyday existence. Here is something now unique to advancement officers and lots of other professions, but for us, we have said now that that sitting is the new smoking. That just as much of a health threat that smoking was, that sitting is the new smoking. We've invented enough conveniences that we can live completely divorced from any kind of exercise. We don't have to move. I mean, we barely move. We walk to our cars. We walk to our offices. We sit down. Do we walk maybe to a meeting, but maybe those are all teleconferenced. So sitting is the new smoking. I'm sure, however, that we'll agree that that moving has so much to do with our well-being. We need some kind of activity. And again, just like I visited with you about eating, there's a plethora out there. There's so many options that they're overwhelming. We're drowning in options. We can get it online and watch somebody jumping around. We can go to a group plan. We can have our own individual stuff that we just do. We can have gentle kinds of exercises on to running a marathon. We can be on land, we can be in the water, or we can be on equipment. We have option overload and no clue to how to return this to being an integral part of our day. And that's what we have to shoot for, is ask ourselves, how do I make this a regular part of my day? Number four, we have let ourselves slip into unworkable lives. Let me say that again. We have let ourselves slip into unworkable lives. For us, in the work of composing a good world, we take on incredible pressures of juggling our nonprofit missions with parenthood, paying mortgages, constantly being connected and accessible, burning that proverbial candle at both ends, especially cheating ourselves on sleep by working late, getting up early, or worrying ourselves awake, thinking about all the things we need to do. It's also easy to put off any kind of workout, grab a Starbucks or a Mackey D on the run, cheat our sleep time in order to catch up, and waste hours with Netflix or something that just takes our mind away from it all. And this has gotten so prevalent that we've really eliminated from our lives things that once gave us real pleasure or kept us sane. And this is really really an awful reality, because life is a gift and it's meant to be joyful. It should be pleasurable and sane. So I want you to recognize, number four, we've let ourselves slip into unworkable lives. Be aware of that. And number five, we have become pathologically selfless. Now, my friends, some of you are going to push back on me with this, and that's okay. But I think this reason, and remember, I'm talking about why don't we have the kind of personal health we want. We've become pathologically selfless. I think this is the poster child for us in nonprofits. Selflessness can be addictive, just as addictive as too much coffee and too much sweets and too much whatever else. It feels good to serve others. It feels good to do unto others. It makes us feel needed. It makes us feel important. It makes us feel caring. It makes us feel like we're sacrificing for others and that that's noble. Do you hear all this? Yeah, and it's a good thing to help others. And sure, it should be a major part of how we walk through life. But I am seeing that we've become pathologically selfless, and that's a negative. It's the point where it's shifted into being a little bit of a martyr, and where we routinely ignore our basic needs and perhaps even the needs of our families to prioritize doing for others. Do you see that this is a slippery slope? We get to a point where the only thing that really gives us meaning is doing things for others, even if it's at the expense of our own personal health. This is admirable, but we can cross into the line, over the line, into mistaking suffering for virtue. It's not. For any of you that are carrying around this, I don't have the time to do it because I'm serving others, I'm calling you on it. I'm calling you on it. Because in my experience, martyrs usually end up bitter. Martyrs end up in their 50s and 60s saying, I gave everything for my kids. I gave everything for my work. Now what do I have for me? And once the body breaks down because we haven't taken care of it, then let's add some pain and some physical stress to this. What is there now for me? And it also becomes hard to keep up this addiction of serving someone when you get older. So volunteers in a soup kitchen don't let their pots fall apart while they're ladling out one more bowl of soup. They take the time to care for the equipment they need to do their calling. Your equipment is your body. Your equipment is your mind. I understand and I get that these are gifts from God or the universe or wherever you come from on that front. And they come to us free of charge. We don't have to pay for our bodies. We don't have to pay for our minds. They're standard equipment at birth. So you know what we do, people? We take them for granted. Oh, yeah, they're here. I got a mind. I got a body. Yep. Mm-hmm. Came. Yep. Born with it. Yep. Yet we'll pay so much money for stuff that isn't nearly as valuable as our incredible minds and our bodies. Our most important piece of equipment is our body. So I'm suggesting that we rethink what is selfish and what is selfless and what that balance needs to be. A giving spirit is not one of self-sacrifice or martyrdom. Placing others' interests before your own, making your win about the other person more important than your win for your own personal health is not a victory. It means trusting that when we focus on others, your needs will also be taken care of. We must not ignore our own basic needs in the process of serving others. Everything in life must be balanced or something breaks down, and quite often, it's us. Number six, we've lost our support. Somehow, in the busyness of our lives and in our prioritization, we start dropping the people most important to us. Those who give us that solid foundation. Those who help us keep our spirits high and our mindsets positive. Now think on this. Think on this. Be true. Be honest with me now. How many of you spend more time with people you feel you have to spend time with instead of those people in your lives you really want to spend time with? How many of you say, oh my goodness gracious, we haven't seen them in 5 years. 10 years, 15 years, and we love them so much, or they're so important to us. Or when that thing that draws us together is done, oh, I promise we'll stay in touch. Yeah, right. When we don't do this, it's easy for us to get lonely and even a little depressed, even in what looks like a full social life. I've often said we need to take action to move away from what I call crap magnets, and I got that from T. Harv Eker, those constant complainers, negative folks who pull us down. But they're around us. They're in our office. Ah, the coffee isn't working today. Oh, it's so hard to get appointments. Oh, it's so hard to get the board to understand what we do. Blah, 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 those crap magnets. Don't get near them. Get away from them, or they'll get their crap on you. We need to surround ourselves with people who believe their future is bright. There's another life coming after this one, and tomorrow's going to be better than today. And we need to say, I've said it, you all heard it, I create my life. We need to start each and every day by taking responsibility for managing our thoughts and our time. And being sure we fill in our time with that important social network or solid foundation be it faith-based, wherever you come from, that supports our minds, our bodies, and our souls. Bad food and a sedentary lifestyle becomes the filler, listen to me now, the filler for what's missing spiritually and emotionally. We fill our spiritual, emotional hunger with bad food and sitting on our butts. Maintaining a good support network is a terrific way to prevent the formation of these bad habits or address them. We need to have the right people around us who'll speak to us if they see us getting out of balance. We need to spend regular time in fellowship with faith-based or positive groups that give us a chance to make positive change before we break down or become ill or help us get back on track. And finally, number 7, and I've touched on this a little, but we have forgotten our own value. And this can strike us at any age. We have forgotten our own value. This is the biggest reason we don't take care of ourselves. In our work with our nonprofit mission, be they education, social service, environmental, sports, faith-based, whatever, we can let our passion for this mission diminish our own importance. We can get so wrapped up in the cause we're serving, in the people we're helping, in their plight, in their victimhood, in their issues and problems and downtroddenness and struggles, that we get lost in this. If we don't understand our importance in the greater plan, in the greater role of the universe, taking care of yourself seems pointless. I want to remind you that the universe or God, wherever you're comfortable approaching this with, has a plan for you. And you're an important piece of this. You have unique and special gifts. And every day, you have an opportunity to share these. Each of you is a gift to each person you touch every day in your work and your personal lives. There's a new movie out right now, and I'm going to forget the name of it. I think it's Before I Fall or something like that, and it's about this girl. I'll send it out in the follow-up. It's about this girl who's living a day, and then she keeps repeating this day. And in repeating this day, she has a chance to look at her life. It really speaks to we've forgotten our own value and who, and using our gifts and who we want to be and how we want to show up each day. I'd encourage all of you to watch this movie. The most valuable gift you have to offer is your authentic and healthy self. When you are at your best personal health, you are able to give the most to others. You are at your peak performance. So quickly to review these, I've outlined 7 reasons that I believe we don't take care of ourselves. 1, we don't have clarity on how to feed ourselves. There's so much going on out there. There's so many options. 1 is that clarity. 2. we've got a skewed body image in our mind. There's so many fat people around, we've started thinking that's normal. 3, we've lost touch with exercise. Exercise is a regular part of our day, not a special thing we do, but a regular part of our day. 4, we've let ourselves slip into unworkable lives. 5, we've become pathologically selfish. 6, we've lost our support systems. We've lost our support people and things that help us stay on track. 7, we've forgotten our own value. Okay, now I want to jump into what simple tools can we use to bring our personal health back into focus. This was really challenging for me because I'm not going to tell you follow this or do that or eat vegetables. I mean, I'm just not even going to go there. That's a journey you have to each take on your own. I'm going to tell you that part of why we struggle with our personal health is because we're drowning in options. So when I looked at creating some simple tools to talk about this, the first thing I came up with was creating a positivity practice. I've just recently read a book, and I'd like to recommend it to you all. It's called Head First, A Crash Course in Positivity. Last week, I had the privilege and honor of meeting Steve H. Lawton. He smashed himself into a tree skiing because his bindings weren't working in 2014. And this is not the story of his accident. It's the story of how he recovered and the role positivity played in his recovery. He walked in, he talked to me. If I had not known about this accident, I would have had no idea he ever had been in an accident where really he was a number three on like the brain dead scale. I mean, he and broke his back in a zillion places, and I mean, just horrific injuries. So he talks about establishing a positivity practice. And I think this is one thing you can do that will make a difference in your overall personal health. I have talked about this before, and he mentions it as well, and that's the whole idea of neuroplasticity. And I've talked to you about the fact that here at the University of Wisconsin in the Mindfulness Center, we talk about neuroplasticity. And that is the fact that our brains are constantly physically changing. With everything we learn and practice intentionally, we can rewire our brains. Why is this such a big deal? It's because there was a time when we said, oh, you know, what you're born with is the way it is, and by the time you're three, you've already figured it all out, and by the time you're 10, you've stopped changing. And now we know that that's simply not true. Now we know that anything that we learn or practice intentionally reshapes our minds. It changes our connections in our minds. So I create my life first thing. I added that to Steve's little exercise here. But then, and I do this every day, spend 5 to 15, it's not a long amount of time, 5 to 15 minutes in stillness. Now, some of this call it meditation, some of it, you know, do all this kind of stuff. I just think you're quiet and you calm your mind. 5 to 15 minutes. 5 minutes will do it. 5 minutes will do it, but just stop and be calm. 5 minutes will do it. And during this time, I set my intentions. And here are some examples of the things that I intend for myself. I will enjoy this moment. I will enjoy this day. Everyone who comes into contact with me today will be better off as a result. I'll be a great mom, wife, and friend. I will make people around me more positive. I will make the world more positive. I will heal my foot. I will help those I serve achieve better results by helping them lead positivity. I will bring financial resources to as many places as I can today. I will write my next book. I will give a TED Talk, and they go on. But I've got a list. No, it doesn't have to be that long. That's just me. You know me. But that's the beginning of my list of the things that I say to myself during these 5 minutes. I set my intentions. The next thing I do is about 20 minutes of exercise. And it just so happens that Steve H. Lawton in his book says, next 20 minutes exercise. I don't run off to a gym, but whatever you do is fine. Whatever you do is fine. This is right where you are or a routine you're already doing. Or I'd like to suggest just doing 20 minutes of something, whether you march in place, whether you stretch. And I'm going to talk about stretching a little bit more later. But 20 minutes of something that's exercise for you. Okay? Finally, I journal. I write down, what am I going to accomplish today? And how am I going to move my intentions forward? And what am I grateful for today? And again, this isn't a massive process. This is 5 to 10 minutes. So the whole deal takes me anywhere from a half an hour to 45 minutes to do. And it makes a massive difference in my day and a massive difference on your whole personal health. I suggest you try it. Number two, change why me to what now. This is another thing I got out of Steve H. Lawton's book. So instead of lamenting on how you are not in the personal health you want or doing the routines you want, just throw that out and say, what will you do about it? And then do it. Take an action. So change, why me? Poor me. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. So in other words, victim to action. Why me to what now? This can be as simple as standing with the correct posture for 3 minutes. It's all about shifting from victim thinking to taking personal responsibility. Number three, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one, the power of stretching. I do think that because we no longer have regular physical activity in our days. Now, maybe in your job you do have a chance to get up and run around or whatever. It's part of what you do. But for so many of us, it's sitting. It's the new smoking. It's sitting. It's sitting in front of our computers. It's sitting in front of each other at meetings. It's sitting. So the power of stretching. Stretching is one of the key components of yoga, but it's also an impactful practice on its own. Stretching is one activity that can deepen the impact of any workout you do following this. It can also improve the quality of your sleep, and it can increase your circulation all at the same time. The benefits of stretching is it improves your flexibility. So it helps you resist more injury, not only in daily life, but prior to exercising. It helps you increase your range of motion. It makes those pulled or stiff muscles less of a threat. So when you get up, you need to stretch. It creates better alignment. When the body gets out of alignment, it can cause challenges with balance, metabolism, and visual accuracy. Stretching helps us recenter. It reduces stress. Just simple stretching. It counteracts that natural tendency for our muscles to want to tense up. The slower movements are calming to the mind and relieves tension. And finally, it improves posture. So one of the things that I'm seeing more and more and more is we tend to not stand up straight and tall. And one of the things that I am seeing with this whole personal health deal is that we're kind of bent over. And poor posture causes so many things, stiffness, soreness, we don't breathe the same, and it has a real impact on our mental health. Some studies have even shown that bad posture can deepen depression. So, stretching. My fourth idea is plan your time for rest. Do not take red eyes. For over 10 years, I routinely took the red eye from Seattle to Madison. The Pacific Northwest was my geographic area. I would leave a little before midnight. I'd get to Madison at 8:30 in the morning with the time changes, and then I went to work for the entire day. So set up time during work time to do your data entry or your follow-up for your calls, not in the evening or on the weekends. Put that as part of your work day. Okay, finally, I want to close out our call today with a few simple tweaks that may help you rethink this whole thing we call our personal health. One, take moments to relax and get back in alignment. Moments. Now, you notice I didn't say 10-day vacations or all of this. Take moments to relax and get back in alignment. They're crucial to your long-term success. Last month, I gave you some tips on managing those crazy moments when everything happens at once. These are also excellent for personal health. It's said that we should take a 10-minute break for every 90 minutes we do focused work. There's also been a survey that said 86% of us say that we work better when we take short breaks. So commit to doing it. Two, our physical state directly affects our mental state. Don't forget that. This is something that you can just see from looking at how others stand and carry themselves. Back to that idea of posture. You know this. Step into your physical success repeatedly throughout the day. Number three, breathe. I also talked about this last month, but this is the most available, most accessible, and totally free tool we can use to incorporate more personal health. That deep breath is so important. And number four, go to bed and take naps. Rest. Don't yawn at your donors. Drop anything with a screen an hour before bed, and I'll talk more about that next month. And finally, and most important of all, value you. The universe has a great life planned for you, and you need to be ready for it. You need to look great and feel great, ready to use all of your gifts in service to yourself. Yes, yourself and others. Never forget, you must be open to both, listen to me now, giving and receiving. Many of us are great givers, but we're terrible receivers. When you give and you are open to receiving, you will experience both in abundance. The more that we serve, the more that we touch our prospective givers, and the more we are open to receiving from them, the more our success and development will occur. We must be open to receiving. We must be worthy of receiving and see ourselves as worthy of receiving. As an advancement officer, you can't give and serve your donors at your best when you're tired or in poor health. So take in the fact that the greatest gift you can give to them is your sincere listening. Listening for understanding of how they wish to invest in composing a good world. And you need to do that listening from a place of vitality, clarity, and energy. So, until next time, I want you all to invest in joy and understand, never forget how I believe in you and the power you have to compose a good world. You are a change maker. Be a change maker in your own life and in the life of others. Now, promise me, say, I promise, Marcy, you will rest, set your intentions, take breaks, walk around your space, and rewire. Take advantage of the neuroplasticity of our brains. Rewire your brain for positivity and good health. Cheers to your good health. This is Marcy Heim, the Artful Asker, and this has been the Artful Asking Success Club. Dial down the drama, dial up your success for July. Thanks for being with me. You honor me with your presence. You honor the world with your service. See you next month.